Welcome to the Empathy to Impact podcast brought to you by Inspire Citizens. I'm your host, Scott Jameson. On this podcast, we are going to be diving into the voices and stories of students who own their learning and impact their communities. Welcome to the Empathy to Impact podcast. Very excited today to have our first return guest on the podcast. Nantume is joining me from Uganda, and she was on a very early episode of our podcast, helping her brother with his personal project where they were able to put a well in her community in Uganda to provide the whole community with clean water. During that episode, Nantume mentioned that she's really passionate about helping girls in her local community. And with her own personal project, that is exactly what she pursued. So Nantume, welcome to the podcast today.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy and glad talking to you and meeting you. I'm so happy. My project is about preventing early marriage and teen pregnancy in my community. And this is what I'm working upon.
Can you tell us about how you recognize this need for this kind of education for girls in your community?
When I was still young, I had some little challenges that my fellow girls were going through. And I, as a person, some things that I've been facing. And when I went to, because I've learned in boarding schools, when I went to different schools, I could see different lives of people, like different kind of ways they are handling things and everything. Like, I realized that some things happen because people do not have idea about what to do next, and they have no knowledge about who can guide them, who can help them. And the time of coronavirus gave me a very big lesson where I saw a very, very, very difficult time that girls have been sitting home for 2 years. Their parents are not working. They are having nothing to do in minds. So this was something that pushed me very, very, like at a very big percentage of doing this personal project. And yet it was my dream before even the outbreak of COVID-19. This was my dream. I always wanted to help girls. And I'm so happy that my MYP personal project helped me to have this.
And Jeremy, your school situation is a little bit unique. Can you tell the people who are listening to our podcast where you live and where you go to school and kind of how that happened? Because it's a little bit unusual.
I live in rural Uganda, and I'm a student at Chiang-Yangetan International School, where I've studied. I started schooling at Chiang in 2020, and I am an online student. I'm so happy that at least I can connect with my classmates, my school, my teachers, although I'm online, but I'm so glad about that.
So I think it's such a cool opportunity being in rural Uganda and being able to go to school virtually with students at XLIS in Xi'an, China. And it's been such a great connection for both you and your brother. And that community has been so supportive with the Well Project. How has your teachers and maybe your fellow students helped you out and maybe inspired you a little bit with the work you're doing with this project?
I'm so happy about this. And first of all, I can't thank enough my teachers, or maybe let me just say my school plus my supervisor, because if they were not there, my dream wouldn't come true, because they are the ones who have helped me in fundraising, in having everything on ground. That has been my school, my classmates, and people who have been supporting me. My mentor, my supervisor, Don York, has helped me a lot. My classmates, my teachers, different teachers have helped me, and they have let me, I really even can't say like enough about them. Even my community, they have made me believe that something can come true, although you're not able to do it yourself. And with that, I can just say, we is the word that everyone has to move with or has to deal with. Yeah, the word we.
I wish we were on a video format just so everyone can see your smile as you talk about this. It's very clear this is something you're really excited about and very passionate about. And I think we lose that a little bit. We can certainly hear it in your voice, but lose that just in the audio format of our podcast.
I am so happy. I can't even stop smiling when I talk about this project and my school. I just feel so happy.
So tell me a little bit about the work you've been doing. What is the age group of the girls you've been working with? Where are they from? And tell us a little bit about the group that you're working with and some of the things you've done to help them with some of the issues that they're facing.
I am working with girls, with teenagers. I decided to deal with the teenagers because there has been teen pregnancy, there has been early marriage, and very many different disadvantages that have come due to the outbreak of COVID-19, and I've been home for 2 years, so their minds have been, dormant? I'm sorry to use that word, but they've been home and they had nothing to do, so some of them, they engaged in early marriage, there has been a lot of poverty. So I'm dealing with that kind of girls, and these girls are in my community. I have a number of girls that is bigger, but due to the working area, I'm not able to handle all of them. But there are very many girls who would need help, who would need to be supported, who would need to be helped in different ways. So some issues like period poverty have been disturbing girls to the extent they could not even attend classes, and they could decide to sit home because they fear to be ashamed at their school, they fear to be bullied, and this is the situation that girls in rural areas face.
For sure. You talk about period poverty and just the lack of access to what girls need to manage this and to manage this with dignity and not feel ashamed and be able to continue and go to school and all these things that they want to do. And just we lack access in a lot of communities like this. I wonder if you can tell me a little bit more about some of the challenges that girls in your communities face.
Let me say there are many challenges, but there are other main challenges. First of all, the main challenge is poverty, because poverty is something that can lead a person to go where he or she is not supposed to be, or to do something that you couldn't have done. When these girls went in lockdown, they were forced to do some things like early marriage, because they had lost hope. They had no hope that they could even join school because they stopped. Their mothers or their parents were not working. They were all sitting home and they are poor. So they were like, what am I going to do? What can I do next? So this dropped a number of girls into early marriage and others in teen pregnancy. How do they get into teen pregnancy? When I talked to some girls, they told me that some of the issues that led them to engage in, to have teen pregnancy, let me say like that, was she wanted something and she thought maybe a boy or a man can help her have that. With the process of having the money to help her maybe to have a sanitary pad would be used for her after having, being pregnant. So this was a very big challenge, and they could not get pregnant because they wanted, but due to the situation, they had to do that because being home with nothing to eat, and when somebody tells you to have marriage with him, you could just go because at home the situation is not good. So you'd be like, maybe when I go, this man could help me have some money and I can give to my family. So their education stops there and they are no longer going to go to school. The other challenge I can talk about is guidance or counseling, because when some girls drop out of school, this has happened not only during the time of coronavirus, this has ever happened in the school where I was, and I could at least have that counseling from my parents. They were like, no, don't do that, because no situation is permanent. You never know, someday, sometime, you'll be not having these challenges again. So that could help me to be strong and to keep in school. But there are some girls who are having their mothers with some, maybe should I say, careless background. So these are also affecting their education, where they are not having any counseling, they are not having anybody to talk with them. And when we are learning in the local schools at times, it's hard for you to get somebody who is going to be counseling you. Like when I went at XLIS, I realized we are having a counselor, and I was like, wow, this is something really amazing, because you're going to have some knowledge from different people, some advice, and you're going to keep living a life of counseling, like having different ideas, being told, don't do that, don't do this, do that. And that is really good when you have something, or when you have that opportunity in life. So this is what girls are lacking. And when I created this project, I noted that every weekend or at a certain point, we need to have counseling. Because when we started, these girls had not gone back to school. And I was like, I'm going to have counseling first, such that I make some girls, at least like 3 or 4, to go back to school. And that was my wish. I was so happy when I saw some girls accepting and they went back. So I was so happy. I just felt like I'm proud of what I've done. And that is something I can say magical. Yeah.
Definitely magical experience when we can have that kind of impact in someone's life. And that's what I want to ask about next. What impact, when you were planning this project, what impact did you hope to be able to achieve through your work in the community?
My goal was to nurture a girl child in order for them to dream and achieve. This is something I really wish that can happen for the rest of my life. Yeah.
For sure. We want young people to be able to dream and to create possibilities in all sorts of different communities. So I think that is a really great dream. I want to come back to this idea of period poverty and how challenging it can be for girls in a place like rural Uganda. What kind of things did you teach or help these girls to be able to cope with some of these challenges?
So about period poverty, this is something I cannot only talk about these girls that I'm dealing with, but it's something I can tell as my story. Because I've lived in this very kind of life, so I know how it feels. I know how these girls are challenged, and I know what they feel. So when I sat down, I thought of something I can do for these girls, and we can achieve as a team, because we are the youngsters' appeal. So I was like, what can I do for these girls? What can we do together so that they learn? And we can still help other girls as we are continuing with our project. So we decided to make reusable sanitary pads and masks. Why did we deal with masks? So let me have something to say about the two things we are doing. So we are making reusable sanitary pads and masks. So we decided to do the reusable sanitary pads because these girls could not use sanitary pads, but they could use small clothes that can easily fall down, that can easily, I don't know even how to explain this, but it was something that you can't believe, but you can only believe when you see a person or when you've passed through that challenge. And we decided to make reusable sanitary pads where you can give a girl 3 and they can help her at least to use for 4 months when she's safe, when she has not got any disease, and when we are also saving the environment, the nature, because I've heard of climate change. And when we are using the, I don't know how to term them, but the normal sanitary pads that are having polythenes, so people just drop them anyhow, and there is a way that they are dealing with our environment, and it is going to be a disadvantage in some time to come. So when I thought about this, I was like, no, we do not have to provide them with the ones that are having polythenes that is going to even harm our nature, but we can make the reusable ourselves. So we are making this reusable and someone can use it and wash it. And you can use it even the next day or the next month. And with the masks, we decided to make masks because we are in the time of coronavirus. People have been dying, countries are locked, they have lost their loved ones, their families, so I was like, okay, we should even deal with the situation that is in the world. People are dying, so we have to have masks. So I'm doing the two things because of the reasons I've talked about, and I'm so happy that when these people heard about my project, mainly the village leader that I can call the chairman in our village, he was so happy to the extent that he gave me the office where I can at least put my notebook. It's not a big room that we can fit there, but at least it's a place I can put my book. I can meet someone new. Even girls who come, they just go to that room and they wait for me. So after school, I run direct to the office and try to see, is there someone new? If they're there, I note down and come with them. So I'm so happy about that, and everyone in the community was so happy. I'm so glad even my school was happy, my mentor and my mentor as well as my supervisor was happy. Even different people like Miss Shay, Miss Bagakai, and very many others.
I think it's amazing that you're getting that kind of support as well from the leaders in your community to bring in these are a little bit difficult topics to talk about sometimes. And I'm wondering, like, how did you learn these skills? How did you learn to make a mask? How did you learn to make a reusable pad for girls? And how did you kind of develop the skills that you needed to be a leader in this area in your community?
Wow, this is something I'm so happy to talk about, because this has been something that I have never experienced in my life. To make a mask, like sewing a mask with a machine, I had never used a machine in my life. A machine to make a mask, I had never used that. But in my life, I believe I can learn everything when I have passion, I can learn everything. So about making a mask, this has been something challenging, but I'm so happy I was able to handle it. At the very beginning, I had a tailor in our village that I could go to inquire from her, because I knew nothing about it. And I had to use some little knowledge to help me to learn fast, because it was not easy. And about the leadership, when I was still in my primary, I really loved being a leader. And I was a leader from my primary 3 here in Uganda to my primary leaving examination till the time I finished my primary. And even when I joined my secondary, I really loved being a leader. Up to now, I am at XLIS. I'm so happy among the school council. So I'm so happy about that, and I would love to be a leader even in any place where I can go.
I certainly think you have a lot to offer as a leader.
Thank you.
What's the response been from the girls you've worked with? What kind of feedback have you received from some of the girls you've talked to, some of the girls you've taught these skills to and shared your knowledge with?
What I can say first is it is all positive, in a way that some of them accepted to go back to school. And they told me when we come back in holidays, we shall come and catch up again, and we would need counseling. Even when you get some time, you can come at our school and visit us and give us some words of advice. So this was something that I was so surprised about. And one day during the International Women's Day, I was so happy meeting some of these girls. I went to different schools and talked to the girls that I had been working with, and it was something so amazing, something I couldn't believe. But I'm so happy I could meet them, I could go and counsel them in some ways. And also, as I go to counsel them, I also seek some advice from my parents, from some village leaders, and ask them, when somebody gets this kind of challenge, what can we do? So they could help me, and I'm so happy.
I think it's really cool how you talk about you're talking to the village leaders, you're talking to your parents, you're working with your teachers and counselor at XLIS, and you're gathering up all this knowledge, and then you're kind of sharing that back with girls in your community who don't have the same access to this that you do, and really kind of spreading this knowledge around so that you teach yourself to make a mask or to make a sanitary pad for girls. And now they know how to do this too and are able to do this and teach other people. And we really see, imagine like the pebble that falls in the pond and those ripples just kind of keep moving out. And I think that's really, really amazing. And certainly something that is needed in your community. So I love that you're taking on this challenge. You talked a little bit about this earlier, but I'm wondering, what in all of your experience with this project, what has made you proud, your proudest moment?
At times, I believe when I get something like a disadvantage or kind of situation where I'm challenged, this is something I normally feel proud of, because I believe the hardest part of an idea is the starting point of the achiever. This is a quote I made in 2020. The hardest part of an idea is the starting point of the achiever. So the time that I remember that made me proud and couldn't stop me from doing something I was dreaming about was the very first time when I talked about my project, that like something I was going to do. Many people were like, no, how can you help others yet you're also poor? So I was like, oh God, so even poor people can't, like, they can't do something. So like that statement made me feel a little bit challenged, and I was not happy about it. But after some minutes, when I had talked to my parents, because at home we share everything and we get advice from each other, so this kind of situation, there were very many difficult situations, but this is something that I can at least say and feel proud that even those people who could not believe something that I am doing right now, they are like, oh, we are now proud of you. We didn't know you can do this. So when they say something like that, I can't get annoyed, because they said the fact I couldn't help those girls because I had no money to do that. But with the help of my school, I have been able to do this. And this is something I feel proud of. Also, something I can feel proud of is words or counseling words that I've been getting from my mentor, from different people, from my classmates. Like, I've had people that have been telling me, wow, your project is good, so keep doing that. You know, different girls of your age can say something about that. And I was getting energy of continuing with what I'm doing. And something I can lastly say about this is I thank my school for really making me feel proud of myself, because when you dream something and it comes true, you of course feel proud of yourself, because it's hard for a dream coming true. Yeah, although it depends on which kind of dream, but any dream is hard to come true. It's not something easy for a person. I'm so happy for the full support of my school and everyone that has helped me.
You're going to make Miss York at XLIS cry a little bit there, I think. She's such an amazing educator, and I know she's going to be very happy to hear what you're saying, as am I. What makes you say to some other young change makers who are passionate about educating teenagers about teenage pregnancy and early marriage, or working on this issue of period poverty, what's some advice you might give to some of these aspiring change makers?
Well, change makers out there, I'm so happy to say this. At times when you realize you can make something different for someone or somebody else that you're with in person, or someone you're not with in person, this is something we first respect, because these people at XLIS, they are helping me in everything. Even when they have not seen these girls, the situation they are passing through, they believe in me and they have helped me and they have given me full support. So to every world changer, let me say world changer, let us have passion. This is something I normally tell to these girls, have passion. And everywhere you go, believe that when you start your dream, you start your normal life. When I was still young, I wanted to be someone to help girls, even when I had not noticed very many problems with what girls are going through. But because of some little challenges I had faced as a girl, because for me, I'm having 5 brothers and I'm the only girl in my brothers. So when I got some little challenges, like they could tell me, no, don't do this, that is for boys, don't do this, I was like, no, what do I have to do for even other girls that are out there and they're facing the same problem like me? So I could disturb my dad, ask him, Dad, what can I do? Why are they refusing me this? And even I could disturb my mom, but they were like, you know what? You need to become a lawyer. Maybe you can deal with that. So I grew up knowing that when I become a lawyer, I can at least change some things. Also, I said that when I was still young. When I was growing up, I noticed that lawyers can do different things, and I also noticed I can deal with this in a different kind of way, whereby when you have something in mind, you can have an opportunity that you couldn't expect. Something like my MYP personal project. I couldn't believe that I can be a student in China, but right now I'm a student in China and I'm having the opportunity of my personal project. So if I had ignored this when I was still young, I couldn't have done this kind of personal project. But this is something I'm not doing right now, or I've not just thought of like 2 years back, but it's something that I've grown up thinking of, helping my fellow girls. So to anybody out there, just believe you can help someone. Just believe you can change something in someone's life. Just believe you can be something you couldn't expect, or something that other people at your back, or some people in the place you are, you can do something they couldn't expect. So let's have passion in everything. When you have passion, you can do something that you're just doing because you have the passion, but someone is like, oh, maybe she's noting that somewhere. So what I can say is, let's have passion in everything we are doing. Let's try to think of different things of like helping people, helping girls. Girls are really suffering in different places, different areas, because when I talked to the village leader, he told me that there are some girls who would like to come and learn with me, but I'm not having a place where, like, I'm not having a room to sit with the girls. We just sit outside and we start working. So he also, like, he's seeing the situation where we are working, but even though I'm not having a room, I'm confident and I'm sure that we can do this with these girls. So when you believe in yourself, when you state your dream, you state your normal life. You can't have anybody to change you. You can't have anyone to say you can't do it when you have passion. So thank you so much. I'm so happy if anyone listening to this is a world change maker, just know you are the best. Just know you are something in someone's life.
That's a very inspiring message. Thanks, Nantume. You're exactly right. Having passion and believing in ourselves and connecting with our networks of people, whether that's at our schools or with our families or in our communities, and making those connections and collaborating and working together is so, so important. So thank you so much for that advice. Have you had a chance to chat with Anna from Beijing?
No, I would really love to talk to her. I would love to talk to anyone who would like my project. I would love to discuss with you, or even to tell you more about the project. Yeah.
Well, hopefully that comes together. Nintume, thank you so much for spending some time with me today. It's always a pleasure to catch up with you and hear about the work you're doing in your community to have an impact. And I'm feeling really inspired by your work and your passion and your belief that we can make a difference. So thank you so much for sharing your story on our podcast today.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you very much to everyone. Thank you so much, Mr. Jamieson and everyone.
If you've enjoyed this episode, let's keep the conversation going on Twitter at ScottJ_onWheels, or you can find out more about Inspire Citizens on our website, inspirecitizens.org. Thanks for listening.